Jack stayed on watch through the night. Their camp was a good 500 yards from the scene of the slaughter, but even so, the albino youth felt a nagging sense that there was still danger in the air. When Ryan asked him, he shrugged. He couldn't say what it was, he just felt it. The woods were too alive for night. Something was making the wildlife restless. Christie was unable to shed any light on Jack's unease, so Jack stayed silent, as still as a rock, looking back into the darkness. His red eyes were like coals in the night. He refused attempts to relieve him, telling Ryan he wouldn't be able to sleep anyway. He could smell the blood and the hunger as the smaller scavengers came out of hiding to pick clean the carcasses the companions had left behind. He could hear the sounds of the feeding frenzy. But he could hear even more than that. Beyond and almost hidden beneath the surrounding sounds, he could sense a migration. Smaller animals, birds, these were the vanguard. They were moving toward the area where the battle had taken place, but they weren't motivated by the need to feed. It was more than that. They weren't carnivorous creatures and would likely be at risk from the scavengers around the carcasses. So what was scaring them so much that they were blindly running into trouble? It had to be something big, which was why Jack felt the need to stay awake, to read the sounds of the night. By the time dawn had broken, the companions were all awake. At first light, they struck camp. Now the flight of the smaller creatures that Jack had observed was apparent to all.
It's trouble, no doubt about that.
Christie's hair was nestled close to her scalp, her psychic perception working overtime now that she had rested.
Yeah, but what? Is it the kind of trouble where we try and get the hell out of the way? Or will that just get us blasted in the back?
A dilemma, my dear John Barrymore, that we must solve if we are to save our skins.
Any idea what it is, Jack? It doesn't sound like a sec party of any kind.
If they were near a vill, the noise of the previous night's firefight with the muty beasts might have carried. And it would be understandable if the vill baron's response to unexpected blaster fire was to send out a party to hunt down the possible threat. But Ryan couldn't hear men, horses, or wags, and there had been no other blaster fire. Jack's attention was still focused on listening. He slowly shook his head.
Not man, but not just animal.
What does that mean?
Don't know what it means. Ryan, let me wreck. Stay here, give half hour.
He tapped his wrist chron. Around them, the birds chattered and swooped in and out of the foliage, and the grasses rustled as small mammals and reptiles moved past them, taking care only to avoid the companions. After some thought, Ryan nodded.
Triple red, okay?
Jack flashed Ryan a grin.
He never anything else.
He moved off into the jungle, running against the tide of wildlife. Ryan indicated to the others the cover of nearby trees.
Okay, people, get hard. Safe to assume we can't outrun this. We need to know what it is. Let's hope Jack finds out.
Jack moved through the woodland like quicksilver, swift and sure-footed, using the clumps of trees as cover. This was his natural environment, and he moved on pure instinct. Even through the heavy combat boots, his feet seemed as tactile as his hands, easily negotiating the uneven sections of the woodland floor, avoiding treacherous roots and divots. He was soon past the mass migration of wildlife and skirted the clearing where they had defended themselves against the muty pack, pausing briefly to note that the scavengers who had followed in their wake had made short work of cleaning the carcasses. Few scraps of flesh remained, and there weren't even that many bones left to mark the battle, just fresh stains on the blood-soaked earth. In the eerily empty zone past the migrating creatures, the silence was soon broken by a noise that he recognized immediately. One that had been hidden enough by the other sounds to disguise it sufficiently until now.
Stickies.
Jack slowed and moved with more caution. The stench of them filled his nostrils, and he could hear their movements. Stickies tended to move in packs, but not normally this fast, and he had never known a pack to cause such a panic among the wildlife of an area. Something out of the ordinary was occurring here. His senses told him that the pack was at least 30 strong and moving with speed. They would be on him in a few minutes. He knew he could outrun them, but he needed to complete the wreck, get closer, undetected. He jumped for a handhold on a tree limb that was just a foot above his head. He tested its strength, deciding it should hold him easily enough. Jack pulled himself up into the tree and used the leaf cover to hide himself. He took a good look around. There were enough trees to provide cover for him to circle the pack, assuming the branches were strong enough. Or else he could stay here and wait for the pack to come into view. Unfortunately, from his present position, the trees that provided him with cover also prevented him from getting a good look at the pack. Jack was patient. He could wait all day and all night for his prey, immobile and focused. But right now, he couldn't afford to wait. Testing each limb as he moved, Jack clambered from tree to tree. He was high enough for any noise to be attributed to birds fluttering in the branches. Besides, stickies weren't climbers. If he was spotted, he could evade them as long as he could stay in the treetops. It took only a few trees before he was upon them. He stopped and looked down. The noise the stickies were making had covered any of his own, and he was sure his presence had not been detected. They were a heaving mass of muddy flesh, moving almost as one. The black, shining eyes, bereft of intelligence. The fleshless lips, over jagged, razor-sharp, yet rotten-looking teeth. The papery, pale skins, and the hands with the sucker-like pads on the ends of the fingers. They seemed to emit an aura of decay, and they were highly agitated. As the stickies moved, they tore up anything in their path. The foliage, vegetation, and shrubbery that littered the woodlands, even the grasses, were torn from the ground, leaving a churned-up trail in their wake. Stickies were mindlessly destructive at the best of times, but this was more than that. It was no wonder that the animals, reptiles, and birds had fled. Anything in the stickies' way would be ripped to shreds. Not even for food, but just because it was there. And the companions were right in their path. Jack turned and moved swiftly through the trees until he was sure he was beyond sight and sound of the pack. He dropped onto the woodland floor and began to run, picking his way nimbly over the roots and the uneven earth. All the while, his mind was racing. By the time he reached the companions, he would only have a short lead on the stickies. Although he was moving faster than they, he had to cover more distance in circling them. It would be enough time for the group to adopt a defensive position and to try to blast their way out of trouble, but not enough time for them to move out of range into safety. Stickies were normally cowardly, and a taste of blaster fire would scatter them, fear overcoming rage. But Jack trusted his feeling that this pack had something stronger driving them on. This was a large pack, and whatever had stirred them up, it made them a savage and vicious enemy that would attack regardless of circumstance. And that was another problem to weigh. What if the thing that enraged the stickies was hot on their tail? Fighting off such a large and maddened pack would be hard enough. To then have to fight another enemy afterward may be too much to ask. Jack was in sight of the companions, who broke cover as he approached. He was barely breathing hard despite his exertion, but it still took valuable time for him to spit out everything the wreck had told him. As he came to the end of his report, the pack of stickies was within hearing.
Fuck it. We stand and fight. Too late to do anything else. They're moving too damn quick.
He directed the companions back to the positions they had adopted while awaiting Jack.
Fire on sight. Just try to chill the bastards as they come through.
They had one chance to clean this up quickly. Because the woodlands became more dense as the muties approached, there was a narrow channel through which the stickies, with their pack mentality, would probably try to squeeze. With the companions in cover on either side of this channel, they might just be able to take them out quickly and en masse as they formed a bottleneck. Stickies weren't smart enough to back off and spread out, striking back at an enemy by spreading their attack front. The companions could smell the muties before they were upon them. The sickly sweet odor of the stickies' sweat filled their nostrils and made them gag. Stickies were vile enough in small groups, but this strong, it was almost enough to make a challenger give up and run. The companions trained their blasters on the narrow channel, waiting for the first of the muties to come into view. They had to be close. The noise they were making was now deafening, the smell overpowering. The foliage trembled, shook, and finally was ripped asunder as the pack of stickies burst into the clearing. The wait had been so tense that it was almost a shock when they finally appeared. They were ripping up anything in their path, whipped into a rage of fury and fear, fear that seemed to come off them in waves, driving them onward. The mass of muty flesh filled the clearing in less than a few seconds.
Fire! Aim at their heads!
The screams of the first stickies to feel the impact were lost in the hurricane of sound.
Et toi!
Come and get it, you fuckers!
Eat this, you muted bastards!
Get thee hence, ye vermin!
Gaia Protaka! Mildred, to your right!
Jesus!
Black Hellspawn!
of a bitch! Shit!
The channel into the small clearing was soon filling with the dead and dying, blocking the progress of the survivors. That should have been the end of the matter. Stickies were normally cowardly and would run if attacked by any kind of superior force. Not this time. Whatever had worked them into a frenzy terrified them far more than weapons fire. Instead of turning back, they continued to advance. And if they couldn't move in a straight path, they would try to find a way through the denser foliage. Ryan cursed under his breath when he saw them begin to divert. It was always a risk to stand and fight such a large number of Stickies. The only advantage that made it even feasible was that Stickies were so stupid and predictable. The fact that they were now spreading out, moving into areas where the cover of the trees would make it hard for the companions to take out bunches at a time, made it a much more difficult task.
Spread out!
There's a lot down! They're thinned out! Watch for them circling! Jack, what can you see?
Less than half left! Still moving blind!
So are we! You two need to be our eyes!
Christy was right. Down on the forest floor, it was chaos. There were sounds from all around. The light was poor, the woodland was in shadow, and it was almost impossible to pick out individual movement. Christy, Ryan, Doc, and Mildred couldn't see clearly at ground level. But JB and Jack were still in position up in the trees and had a better view of what was going on around them. Better, but still not great.
Shit! Can't see too much! Three of them to your right, Millie, about 3 o'clock!
Mildred furrowed her brow, frowning heavily as she tried to pick out one noise from another. At the armorer's words, she turned to her right and squeezed out 3 shots at the first noises she heard. Inhuman screams of pain confirmed that she had found a target with at least 2 of the shells. But the third hadn't quite finished the job. An enraged Sticky, pouring blood from a neck wound, crashed through the undergrowth and was upon her before she had a chance to move. It crashed into her, driving her backward into the bole of a tree and knocking the breath from her. Her lungs ached for oxygen, and lights danced in front of her eyes. She felt the creature's hot, fetid breath on her face, and as the lights cleared, she could see the blind hate in its pinprick black eyes, bulging intensely from the white and hairless skull surrounding them. The feel of the suckers on its fingers made her flesh crawl. Her gorge began to rise, and she spat into its eyes. The Sticky screamed, suddenly blinded, and released its grip, staggering back and clawing at its face almost comically. Dragging air into her lungs with a painful, rasping gasp, Mildred brought up the check ZKR so that it was level with the creature's face. As it managed to blinkingly clear its eyes, the last thing it saw was the barrel and dark maw of the 551. The exit wound took half of the creature's thin eggshell skull with it. Mildred spat onto the ground, trying to clear her head and the bitter taste of bile from her mouth. That had been too close for comfort. She dragged herself upright from the bole of the tree, shook her head to clear it, and entered the fray once more.